Today's podcast is brought to you by Me Derby, the leading executive search firm specializing in staffing and workforce solutions. Since 1988, Me Derby has completed over 2,500 executive and management level searches for hundreds of companies, from startups to the largest global players across every staffing discipline. We appreciate Me Derby's dedication to advancing the conversation around diversity, equity, and inclusion in the staffing industry, and are proud to feature them today. Learn more at MeDerby.com. On this episode of the Edge podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery interviews Tammy Browning, SVP and president of Kelly OCG. Leslie and Tammy discuss how good old-fashioned grit helped her succeed in the staffing industry, why it's beneficial to have strong mentors at work and at home, and the importance of business acumen in female leadership. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery. I am the CEO and founder of Clear Edge Marketing, and welcome to the Edge podcast. Today's guest is Tammy Browning. She's the SVP and president of Kelly OCG. Tammy, you are a sought-after speaker, often sharing how organizations can address their future workforce challenges. You also have many accolades. I, of course, have heard your name so many times over the years and I'm just thrilled to have you here today. But you've been recognized by Staffing Industry Analyst Global Power 150 Women in Staffing. You were also on the Staffing 100 list. You were recognized by the Diversity Journal as a 2020 Woman Worth Watching Award recipient. You are a pretty big deal in our industry. And I have to say, from a Kelly perspective, you're actually considered a boomerang, meaning you started at Kelly, you left, went to Yo, then you returned back to Kelly about 4.5 years ago. You've been in this industry almost 22 years in the business. You've had 16 titles, 16 different roles, which really gives you an edge. You mentioned, however, that another edge brought you some early success, I would argue long-term success in your career in our industry. It was that you actually got your start in the restaurant industry. Tammy, I'd love to start there. Tell us about your love of the hospitality industry and how you believe it really gave you an edge when entering the staffing industry.
First, that was quite the introduction. Thank you for that. And one, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the invitation to be able to talk to you today. So you're right. I do love the restaurant business. In fact, I started in the business at 15 years old and really kind of worked my way through the industry. And that was, you know, everything from serving tables to hosting to, from time to time, as a general manager, washed dishes, cooked, did everything you could possibly imagine in the restaurant business. I think the edge that it gives you is that no job is beneath you. No job is below your pay grade. When you're running restaurants, you're in it. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what the customer clientele is going to be that day. You never know if you're going to be slow or busy. And you can cyclically look at things and say, yeah, it's a Friday or Saturday night and you can staff up. But things happen, and the world of the restaurant business is just dynamic. And I think what is so fascinating about the restaurant business that people don't give a whole lot of credit to is that you have to memorize people, faces, names, computer codes, every ingredient that's cooked. And so it requires you to have such a level of depth of knowledge of what you're selling and then the people that you're selling it to. Of course, you know, the relationship building is just spectacular, and really great people in the restaurant business build relationships with local people, and that's how they make their money. I believe P&L management was a differentiator for me. Understanding scheduling, leading people, inventory management, and just really, frankly, good old-fashioned grit was truly the key to my success in the staffing industry. And when I joined this industry, I took almost every one of those skills and applied it daily into what I do every day today, even in the leadership role that I play now.
You know, I waited tables right out of college, Tammy, and listening to you describe it the way that you are, it makes perfect sense. I did struggle a little bit on that front, but you're right. What makes you successful is knowing the ingredients, knowing the dishes, knowing the people, reading the room, having that level of service and that grit. You mentioned washing dishes and playing so many different roles. What I found interesting about your role at Kelly is that you actually started as a temp. covering for someone's maternity leave. And I guess, thankfully for Kelly, that person never returned because you were able to stay there in that role for 4 years. It isn't every day, Tammy, that someone goes from covering a mat leave for 4 years, being in a temp role, to becoming president. So now I'd love to shift gears and have you tell us a little bit about your Kelly story and just your professional journey in general.
Going back to the day that I chose to leave the restaurant business, I will tell you it was a personal conversation with my husband to say, listen, we have 3 kids and you're working 80 and 90 hours a week, missing holidays, missing every weekend, every sporting event. And so it was a deep thought out, do we make this life difference of what I thought I would do my whole life? And so as we made that choice and I applied for the job, which I should mention, I faxed my resume, if that gives you any indication as to what the business used to be like. And I had no idea it was a temp job. In fact, I thought the job was with our client. And so when I took the interview, I didn't realize I was interviewing to work directly for Kelly. And as I began to sort of go through the interview cycle with them, they asked me a handful of questions, things like, you know, why do you want to take this job? It was a coordinator role. So I was an on-site employee or was interviewing for an on-site role, and I was going to coordinate and facilitate the onboarding and offboarding and sort of the daily talent management, if you will, of all the people on that site. And when she told me it was only a 9-month gig, and I said, okay, well, I guess I could figure something else out. And then my intent was to take the role and actually see if I could find a job within that client. That was my original intent when I decided to go ahead and take the role. It was a risk for me. I didn't know if I would stay in the industry. It was a stepping stone, and it was an opportunity for me to really get out of that restaurant business and find a way to take a little bit of time. And was Monday through Friday, hadn't worked Monday through Friday in my entire life. So the reason I was a temp, and I have to mention this because I think it's really important. The reason I was in temp for 4 years is because I really enjoyed it. I took the time to go to soccer games and baseball games. I used to fax my time card in at the end of the week. And if I worked 30 hours, it was great. If I worked 50, I worked 50. And it really just allowed me that flexibility Monday through Friday that I had never been afforded before. And it was pretty clear and early on that I knew I was going to stay in the business. I knew pretty quickly that the gal that I was covering wasn't coming back. And I decided to not apply for any jobs within the client that I was supporting because I really loved the business. I loved what I was doing. I loved the engagement with the people. I was, again, using so many of the skills that I had learned in the industry of restaurant management into this. And so it just was a perfect marriage. I kind of pinched myself even till this day, 22 years later, that I fell in love with a job kind of accidentally. I would have never sought this role out and I would have never sought the industry out, but I'm so glad that it found me and blessed that my husband and I had that tough conversation of, hey, I really want my wife back and I want you to raise our kids together with me and not apart. So that's really the journey. As you said, I've had 16 titles and I've been in the business for long enough to say that I've literally had every single role you can have in the industry. I've supported it from coordination to branch management to regional management to recruiting, specialized recruiting, high-end recruiting, all across. And then, you know, my original 15 years was in staffing. And the last 7 years or so has been in the MSP, RPO, and outcome-based business space. And so I feel like I've been a gig worker in our own industry. And I'm just super blessed to have had that opportunity.
Well, it makes you more relatable, Tammy, I would guess too, as you look at our own business in the staffing industry, MSP, RPO, outsourced world, that gig mentality and having been in that position, you understand that. You also understand the needs and wants of your team. You know, if they have families or not, there are different things personally that are important to them. And because you went through that yourself, it makes you a lot more relatable as a leader and someone people can learn from and grow with as well. In a recent Women Business Collaborative study, in collaboration with ASA, SIA, TechServe, and several industry executives, 48% of women employees made up entry-level roles. And then as you kind of rise up the ranks and look at those numbers, they dramatically decreased for the roles that women had. So layer on top of that, women of color, the numbers are even less. So just for example, to put it into perspective, 48% of women made up the entry-level position, so almost 50-50. But when we get into the C-suite, it drops to 21% of women in the C-suite and only 4% representing women of color. And you and I talked about the importance of understanding how a business makes money and how it functions. In fact, you just mentioned it as something that gave you kind of a leg up. You lead your women's affinity group. I believe you said you have pretty close to 250 women and it's rising every week. And I mentioned that because the next session is on the topic of financial business acumen. Why do you believe, Tammy, that it's so important to cover this topic? And do you believe that understanding more about the financial side of the business will help more women advance into the C-suite, kind of bridging that gap that we see today? And you intentionally are offering this training. Why isn't that happening more?
You know, Leslie, those numbers are staggering with respect to women in the industry. And in fact, in my 22 years, I've had a front row seat to really watching women rise or not rise for that matter in the industry. And oftentimes, one of the reasons that I saw was confidence. Their ability to really go toe-to-toe in tough meetings, or a lack of business acumen, or a lack of understanding financials as they translate to a P&L or how you make money. Now, there are many reasons women don't rise, and sometimes it's actually just simply due to the fact that they want to stay home with their kids, or they want to have work-life balance, and all of those things are completely fine too, but there is this tie to understanding business. So I say this with affection. My toughest and deepest critics have always been my finance organizations, and really having the ability to educate and talk about the business and talk about the numbers and talk about how important it is that we hire for the future and sometimes spend money to make money and what that looks like. You know, my finance teams often chuckle because every time I talk to them about the future, I tell them that they have amnesia about the past. And the reason for that is you can explain financial numbers all the time, but what happens is the business actually begins to happen. We forget about the stories that we knew were going to happen. And so it's a business that requires that you understand how the P&L works, why your top line, your gross profit, and your bottom line is so important. And all three lines are important. The number one question that I'm often asked is, what line is most important, revenue line or the bottom line or the GP line? And I always say all three. All three are important. And the reason is because you cannot cut your way to prosperity on the bottom line. You have to grow through gross profit. And your top line is so critical with respect to retaining and growing and building customer base that's for the future. And so understanding that and being able to go toe to toe with some tough financial critics, as I call them, is so important. And so having training and coaching and women that take courseware on the importance of building the business, understanding how the go-to-market strategy and pipeline development and the execution of those pipelines are so important to the actual results of the bottom line. And really what it does is understanding that sets you up for the future. And I'm a leader, have always been a leader. Philosophically speaking, you should never be solving for a P&L problem today. You should always be solving for a P&L problem 18 months down the road. And when you think about the futures today, if I put that into perspective, for me, 2021 is in the bag. I'm going to have a great year. I know it. I'm that confident. And I knew that a year ago. Now I'm looking at 2022 and 2023, and I'm looking at them in a lens of how can I get the right people in the right seats at the right time, spending the right amount of money. And so I think financial acumen is the most important role that we play as leaders. And if women across the world really took more of a responsibility to learn that. But I will also end that with, this isn't just a business strategy that I describe. I think women should have much more control and their personal finances and their home lives and really be able to understand what that means for them. And so the reason that I provided some of the training wasn't just on business financial acumen. It was on how to understand your personal finances, what your retirement plans look like, what your bank accounts look like, what every account you have in your home with your spouse or partner is so important to the security of your future. So it's just critical in my mind.
I love everything that you're talking about. And it's really the first time this topic has come up in such depth on our podcast. And I think it's really interesting, some of the statements that you made about which are most important in all three, but really understanding the story behind your financials. Because what I find is it's one thing to know the numbers, but you need to know the story and the journey and what you're trying to do. Like you mentioned, to be able to go toe to toe and really to fight for if it's an investment or if it's a hire or a change that you're looking to make, understanding the financials and what the story is behind them and what your goals are will make such a huge difference. On the personal side, it's something that I've always been taught just through my own upbringing, being raised by a single mom, and the importance of understanding your finances and why that's important. But you're right, a lot of women aren't as engaged in that. And I hope to see that continue to change as we look at equality in the home, right? So thank you. I just want to say thank you for talking so much about that and mentioning it. I hope people listening to the podcast will take that into consideration. What training are they doing for their teams? What opportunities are they giving them both professionally and personally to grow as it relates to the financial acumen? And you mentioned some questions that you get asked, such as, how are you going to teach me? So this is up-and-comers asking you these questions during interviews, or even if they're in the company. How are you going to teach me, grow me, engage me, give me something more, develop my career for the future and my career path, even more so than money? So Tammy, as we start to come out on the other side of the pandemic, at least here in the US, what can we take forward when working with our teams as a result of it?
When I think about the pandemic and the way the world has changed, among all the tragedy, which there is so many horrific stories that we've heard jointly. And I think the thing about this that I'm sure you've heard several times people say, you know, we were all in this together, right? We came into this together. And so as a result of that, it wasn't a disconnected feeling like you have in other tragic situations that happen in our world. This was something that we all experienced at the same time, in the same moments, having the same fear and just unknown about what was coming. And so among all that tragedy, there is some silver linings that we need to really look at. And I personally hope that some of the things that we've learned, we never go back to the way they were. And so, for example, you know, when we talk about the relationships that were formed, even in situations where you're working with individuals, we feel like we've now been invited into their homes. People are all working remote. We're seeing their homes. We're seeing their lives. We're seeing their children in the background or perhaps dogs barking. And so I think just the relationships that have been transformed overnight on a personal level is just been wonderful. I think we have to come out of this with flexibility in the workforce forever. So that work from home is here to stay, and it's going to be here to stay for a very long time. And many corporations are changing their initiatives as it relates to work from home policies, if you will. Kelly, we were very fortunate because we had already gone to a Kelly Anywhere model about 3 years prior to the pandemic. So we were able to flip the switch to remote within less than 24 hours. So all 5,700 Kelly employees were remote without a blip because we had had that infrastructure. You'd be surprised how many organizations did not. They were unprepared. They didn't know how to handle that. And so I think the flexibility is here to stay. And compassion is another thing I think is really important. So as we look at compassion around work, life, balance, patience, all those things that need to come out of it. But what you mentioned just overarching in the question was about what this generation of kids have experienced. Some of them will be changed forever as a result of watching their parents, as you said, lose their jobs or lose their homes or their livelihoods. You know, going back even to my restaurant business, all those restaurants that shut down or businesses that were in struggle. So livelihoods have been changed. And so as a result of that, this generation of individuals coming into the workforce today, they want to know what the flexibility, what's the employee value proposition that you're going to bring to me. And they're interviewing the customer, the client, the actual company, more than you're interviewing them now. They want to know, do you have flexibility? Do you have affinity groups? Do you have compassion in the workplace? Can I work remotely forever? And those are the things that I think we need to consider as we're looking at sort of this paradigm shift in the industry as to how we adjust not just the way work gets done, but the way we treat people and how they work in their own environments. It's really important. And I think there are many silver linings coming out of the pandemic.
I agree. There certainly are. And a point you made, will you be remote or flexible forever, is a really good one, because I think that's yet to be told of the story coming out of the pandemic, is a lot of companies don't know and they're trying to figure things out. And for you, that's positive because you do know, you were already in a positive situation going into it where you could make a change so you can, with truth and authenticity, tell people the culture and values that are important to you and stick to that kind of coming out on the other side. I'm paying close attention to what executives said during and are still continuing to say, and making sure that they continue to say the same thing after. That will be really important because, to your point, they're paying attention and they will call them out on it and they will go somewhere else if they don't. Tammy, this comes up a lot because I co-founded a group called ARA. It's Attract, Retain, and Advance Women in Technology. We have about 6,000 people part of the program. And in an annual survey that we've conducted in the past, one of the interesting stats coming out of it was that everyone pretty much wanted a mentor, but a lot of people, at least 50%, they weren't sure how to go about getting a mentor. So I'm curious, what role have mentors and even sponsors, so those people who have gone even above and beyond, played in the importance of your career?
You know, I would say that probably the key to my rise and success in this industry was aligning myself with the smartest people in the business, really understanding why they were successful, what their long-term plans were, how they saw themselves in their career. And I was very much what I would call a mimicker, or somebody that was able to really pick up things from other people and take into my own practice things that I enjoyed about their skills. But I have had several wonderful mentors, and a couple of them are, as you would expect, they were people that were my leaders. They were coaches and colleagues. And there were a couple that were not in the industry with me. They were just people that I truly confided in and understood where I needed them to have an outside perspective. Because sometimes in this industry, you need a little bit of a sanity check, and asking people in the business isn't always the best. That said, mentors for me come in all shapes and sizes. I do believe that my mentors, not only did they guide me in my career, but they also put me in position to be exposed in my career. Because often mentors are in leadership positions, as many organizations do. They choose individuals that are going to rise to the occasion and coach and train up the younger generations. And so when I think about why it's so important to seek out mentors, it's that the exposure you'll gain from those relationships is going to get you where you want to go a whole heck of a lot faster than if you try to get there on your own. And so I think one of the other pieces for me, and I can hear your audience kind of with this ah moment now, but one of my biggest critics and biggest mentors and biggest fans that I bounce a lot off of, and I think in this industry requires that we have it, is my husband. He is my biggest fan, but he is my worst critic, and I often bounce things off of him. So I think when you have those opportunities in your work life and in your personal life, it just is a well-balanced way of looking at the world. We have strong mentorship programs here in Kelly. We have amazing future leader programs. We have incredible leadership alignment, whether it be through our affinity groups or other areas of opportunity. So for me, it's primarily the number one thing people should be looking out for if they want to rise in their career.
I couldn't agree with you more. I have someone on my team, she's a rising COO, and she on her own reached out to two really well-known people in our industry. One's a client and one's someone she's just admired for a long time, who are in those roles. And you've got to put yourself out there sometimes and not rely on programs or your company to do it for you. And that goes back to being your own career champion and your biggest fan. You should be doing this for yourself and not wait for others, but having that group of people to turn to is so critical. It's funny you mentioned your husband. I remember when I was dating my husband, we were walking down the street and I just said, listen, I own my own company and I like to talk about work a lot. And I'm really passionate about what I do. And I'm going to need to talk to you about it because I'm going to have things that I want to run by you and just have this conversation. And I just kind of put it out there early in our relationship because I knew it's something I needed in a significant other to be able to do that. I appreciate you mentioning the important role of a support network in general, if it's a significant other or not. Having people you can turn to and talk to outside of work is equally as critical. Speaking of family, Tammy, let's talk about your family. You have three kids, a girl and two boys, along with grandchildren. You are so blessed in that they live within 10 minutes of you. I think you said like 10 minutes on the left, 10 minutes on the right in each direction. So you get to see them just about every weekend. On the topic of motherhood and your career, what stands out most to you when you reflect on your journey that perhaps others would benefit from hearing? And what excites you most when you look ahead?
You know, hindsight is always 20/20 when you're thinking about your family and your career choices. It's always one of those things where you say, you know, would you have done something different? And they often say, I wish I would have spent more time with my kids, or I wish I would have spent more time with my family. And that's often what I hear from very successful people, regardless of the industry, regardless of the role that they played, that they sacrificed too much. So you're right. I have raised three amazing kids in this industry. And in this industry, as you well know, especially as you rise through the ranks, we are road warriors. We pre-pandemic traveled. I traveled every single week. I traveled around the world and I often was gone Monday through Friday for years and years and years. And so the first thing, sort of shockingly, I think you'll be surprised by my answer to this is, I think if you're sitting at any point in a hotel room or away from your family or in a meeting and you're asking yourself, is it all worth it? My answer is probably no, it's not. And in fact, I believe that now, if I had looked back, I would have been equally as successful in my career, having delegated more, having given more answers of no, I can't make that happen, or I can't be available for that meeting, but somebody else can. I would have risen as I have today. You know, when I think about the kids and I think about, you know, raising your career, there's one thing that I've learned. It's that one, my kids say I didn't miss much. And they were very appreciative of my career and in fact also are in alignment with my husband and being my biggest fans and very supportive, but they are also very different in their own parenting style as a result of it. I have a daughter who only works 4 days a week. She wants to be with her kids, right? My son is very passionate about, I want to be home with my children. And I love and respect the fact that while they encouraged me to rise in my career and to do everything I needed to do to be successful, that they are now raising their family with the values, with the foundation, and with the structure that I gave to them. But they're also doing it in such a way that they're not going to miss much. And so I just think that's a really important thing for everybody to understand and reflect on as you're looking at how you rise. And I think that's not just a women in leadership thing. I feel like men would value from that same exact statement, more men sacrifice their families than women do. And I think it's so important that we don't do that.
You don't have to miss family to be successful at work. They're not mutually exclusive. You can have them both. And to your point, Joyce Russell was on our podcast and she talks about this 10-10-10. And it resonated so much with me. It's the decisions you make in the next 10 minutes, 10 months, and 10 years and how it impacts you. I really take it to heart with my own son and decisions I make about trips, where now I do delegate more, even if it's a speaking opportunity. If it means I'm going to be away for a certain amount of time, I won't sacrifice that. It's not worth it to me. But that doesn't mean I still can't run my own company and be a successful executive. I can do both. And in fact, what it does is it presents opportunities for those around me to continue to rise up as well. But it took me a while to realize that. But again, looking at mentors and people you surround yourself, just hearing you talk about it too, I'm confident will help others listening and on the podcast, take that into consideration as well, especially hearing it from you and what you kind of in reflection would maybe change and what your kids are doing today. Tammy, you have a charmed staffing industry career. You told me a story about never forgetting the first placements you made or the person you impacted. What legacy would you like to leave for our industry?
Yeah, Sergio is his name. He was such a sweet, young, right out of college boy. And I think this is the reason I've stayed in the industry, by the way, for 22 years. I believe wholeheartedly that this business, you either love it or you hate it. And it's one that you either thrive or you struggle. And part of it is because there's so many high highs and so many low lows. And I was hooked the day that I placed Sergio on his job. And I think I was about 7 months into the industry when this happened. And I called off of a resume. And I think the story is so important because the person that answered the phone was actually Sergio's mom. And I was reading his resume, asked if he was available. And she said he was, but he wasn't available to speak. And she wanted to know why I was calling. And I was so young in my career, I had no idea really what I was doing in terms of recruiting. And I said, okay, well, I'll talk to you. You know, tell me about Sergio. Tell me, is he going to be good for this job? And towards the end of it, she said, you know, the reason Sergio's not available is because he has a speech impediment. And especially when he's nervous, he doesn't do well and he stutters. And so would you mind if I sat in on the interview and helped him through this process? And I said, absolutely, I will wholeheartedly allow you to do that. When I set Sergio up with the hiring manager, I explained he has a severe speech impediment. He is wonderful. He's an engineer by trade and he's right out of college, but his mom needs to be on and I'm going to be on because he gets very nervous. And I will tell you, the hiring manager was gracious, supportive, and never looked at me sideways. He absolutely said 100%, I support it. And when Sergio got the job, his mother called me afterwards and said, you know, I just thank you so much. She sent me beautiful gift baskets, beautiful presents for the entire 1 year of the assignment that he was on. He ended up going full time. And in fact, I think he still works for that company today, 20 some years later. So I think when I think about the legacy of what I would want to leave behind is, one, I tell people every day, don't forget, in this industry, as I said, can be tough and it can be cutthroat and it can really change your perspective daily about how you look at people, because sometimes we have good days and we have bad days. But don't forget that we do a very good thing at the end of the day. We find people work that change their lives. We impact their lives. We impact their children's lives. We impact their legacy of their how they will leave behind. But for me, I think the legacy big picture that I would love to leave behind is that just never forget where you came from. Always support the next person. Always encourage people to go for their dreams. And if I can leave anything behind, I just want people to know that you can be your worst critic and you can be your biggest fan. But at the end of the day, make sure you're always looking at who can I impact? Who can I take with me? And your success can never be by itself. It has to be by the people that you brought with you and that came with you through your career and came with you through your placements and came with you through ways that you impacted their life. And so I hope people look back and think, you know what? She really cared about me. She really cared about the business. She really cared about finding people work, and she really cared about making sure that the clients and the people and the hiring managers had the same experience across the board. And those are hopefully the legacies that I leave behind.
Oh my goodness. Okay. You had me in tears during the story. It's not often that I've actually cried on our podcast. I've pulled myself together while you were talking, but what a story. I mean, just for the mom to step up and to have that conversation and for you to be his champion and take it in and talk to the hiring manager and the hiring manager to give him a chance and look past that. It speaks to everything that we're trying to do in an industry, especially when it comes to DE&I. So thank you for being a humble leader and continuing to share that story. It's one that needs to be told often because you're right. Our industry, we are doing incredible things and we need to remember stories like yours, Tammy, because it's making a difference in people's lives. And that's so important and bringing people along with you on that journey. But as you were talking, the word humble just kept coming to mind for me, just to remember where you came from and to stay humble. So thank you for sharing that. We are just about done. I could talk to you forever, but I do want to end with a few rapid fire questions. So here's the first one, turning point that changed your life forever.
I can't go into all of them. There's so many. I have some tragedies, some shattered moments, some jarring moments, and some really bright spots in my life. So what I will tell you is, like your mom, I was a single mom. And the day I met my husband was the day that my life changed forever. It was a moment where I knew that I was going to have a life partner. He didn't just change my life. He changed my kids' lives. He changed our long-term trajectory. And we are celebrating our 24th wedding anniversary this year. It's just such an amazing story of what a person can do. And when you give up control and you allow someone into your life like that, how it can just completely radically change what you thought you would be.
Can we clone you? I want to just have more of you in this world. Okay. Best piece of advice you ever received?
Oh my gosh. The best advice I ever received is always believe in yourself. I was a very young mother. I had two kids really, really young. And there's a lack of confidence that comes with that. There's immaturity. There's really, frankly, insecurity that come with that as well. And I had so many people along the way say, never underestimate how good you are. Always be your best champion and talk about what you can do for other people. And so I think it was just, you know, never give up and never be hard on yourself, right? It's just not worth it in the end.
Fantastic. I've been sharing that with mentees lately too, when they ask me that question, because you've got to love yourself so much. And my dad used to say that to me, when you look in the mirror, you have to love who you see back. And oftentimes we don't see in ourselves what other people see in us. And I do believe that's part of that humble piece as well. But at the end of the day, you have to believe in yourself. You have to be your number one fan. I agree with you. All right, Tammy, my last question for you. One thing people would be surprised to find out about you.
Okay, so for anyone that does know me or listens to this or has worked with me or around me knows that I'm a control freak. So that's not a surprise. So that's not the one thing people would know. I am a bit of a control freak. I'm also a little bit of a clean freak and really appreciate orderly, organized, and understand where everything is. But the one thing that no one would actually believe is that I almost never make my bed. Ever. So I'm the most organized person, but I find making my bed to be such a waste of time because I'm just going to get back in it the next day. And luckily for me, I married a man who could care less.
Well, you let go of control of something, which is great. So that's fantastic. And by the way, I bet you changed his life forever too. It goes both ways. Tammy, thank you so much for sharing your story and such great advice today. You've given us all a lot to think about. For those listening to the podcast who would like to connect with you, what's the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is a handful of ways. One, I am never too big that you can't just call me, text me, or reach out to me. And so I'm always available by way of phone or others. And the best way to do that is just ping me on LinkedIn and say, I'd really like to get on your calendar or talk to you. And I will absolutely shoot you my personal phone number. I am totally willing to talk to people and coach and mentor. So either my LinkedIn or on my email, which is tammy.browning@kellyocg.com.
Fantastic. Tammy, thank you again so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's been awesome. And thank you. This has been humbling to have been invited. So thank you, Leslie, for that.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.